Hello and welcome to another episode of Untick the Box, where we speak to people from diverse backgrounds about their career journeys and how they got to where they are today. I'm your host, Maylin Wong. And joining us today is Nayantara Dutta, someone who wears many hats, among them writer, journalist, book critique, jazz singer. Her writing has been published in The Time, BBC, The Guardian, Washington Post, Vogue, and other notable publications. She's the founder of the global movement Unapologetically Muslim and the South Asian creative community Defining Desi. She has been recognized for her work in identity and inclusion, receiving the AdColor Rising Star Award, Campaign US Female Frontier Award, and a place on the Drum 50 Under 30 list. And for the past 1 year, she is also the research director at Clean Creatives, a campaign that encourages ad and PR agencies to stop working for fossil fuel clients. In this episode, we'll be talking about how you can intentionally build your own career path, whether you're making a career change or just starting out as a fresh graduate. Welcome, Nayantara.
Thank you so much for having me.
How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Awesome. I can't wait to get started on our conversation. You know, when we first met, you called yourself a third culture kid. Why is that? And what was your childhood like?
Yes, so I love this term, third culture kid, because growing up, I never felt like I fit a box, very similar to our theme of unticking the box here. Mm-hmm. And a third culture kid is a term that's used to describe someone who grew up outside of their country of origin or their parents' country of origin. And I've used it because I grew up living all over the world. My parents are both Indian and I was born in India. But when I was 4 or 5 years old, I moved abroad. And I've lived all over from Hong Kong to the US to Vietnam to Scotland. And now, incidentally, I'm back in India. And it's a very important part of my identity because I think that it's very easy to define ourselves, or there's a lot of pressure on us to tick the box, have an identity that everyone can understand. And by calling myself a third culture kid, I open myself up to this whole new realm of who I can be as a person, because I'm not one thing, but a collection of experiences. And I think every culture I've lived in has deeply shaped me. So I love using that term just so people can get a taste of the experience that I've had in terms of experiencing other cultures.
That's so beautiful. And I think that's that describes so many, you know, young people today whose parents are so mobile, you know, moving from one country to another. So, you know, that's kind of interesting. You talk about, you know, you're full of experiences of different cultures. So how did you grow up in different parts of the world? And how has that shaped how you live your life and your career path?
Yeah, so we moved because of my father's job, and my mother was also working and got to work remotely. And it was very important for me to see both parents working for one, but it was also really interesting to move around because of a corporate job rather than having a parent who was a diplomat or in the army. And we always moved every few years because that was the life of someone with an international rotation job. And it was fascinating because I grew up as a part of an expat community where most of the people I met were only in a place for a temporary amount of time. And it really shaped how I lived my life because I started being a lot more present in my reality. I grew up very quickly. And I also started really developing a sense of self very early on. I kept on having to answer people's questions about who I was and where I came from and what I stood for, even as a child. And so I definitely had to weather some extra challenges perhaps, but it really helped me because it exposed me to so much about what there is to offer in the world. It gave me a lot of perspective, and it also built my character. And so I'm very grateful for that, because I think regardless of whether you've lived in the same town your whole life or whether you've traveled a lot like myself, I think that everyone comes to a point where you have to synthesize who you are and where you come from, and those may not always mean the same things. And it really did inform how I approach my career and approach life more generally, because living all over the world made me so curious about people. And it's very easy to find aspects of life that divide us, but I was more interested in what connect us. And that has informed my entire approach to life, finding connections, moving past differences, and also trying to see people as more complex as one descriptor or the other, and more holistically understanding who we are and who we can become. And it's not always informed by our country of origin. It really is informed by our character as people and the definitions we choose to inhabit.
That is so interesting. And I think, might this be also one of the reasons why you kind of have chosen a career that is more flexible rather than a very defined type of role?
Absolutely. I've only realized it in retrospect. It's so funny because growing up, people always used to tell me, you're so different and you've lived such a unique life. And as a child, I think we are conditioned to want to fit in, and any difference is really seen as a threat. Certainly in school, when people see you as different, when they can't understand you, perhaps you are bullied or ostracized or made to feel other. And as children, we really seek belonging. It's a fundamental part of our child psychology. But growing up, after all those people told me, you're very different, I actually started to see that as my superpower. And I started to understand that my path in life is not going to look like everyone else's. And you can choose to see that as very daunting, or you can choose to see that as a gift. And I think regardless of how we grew up, this is the truth for everyone, where we grow up thinking that we need to pick one or the other in terms of career, in terms of the type of person we want to be. And I believe that as we get older, we realize there's so many more possibilities available to us, especially in terms of who we choose to be. And I believe that personality is not fixed. I believe it's fluid. And I think over the course of my life, and there's so much more to live, I have been at least a dozen different people. I'm sure we all have. And I think what's so important is that we keep living based on who we are today, and we don't hold ourselves to who we were in the past.
I love that. I love that you are, you know, opened to new possibilities and not, you know, going into a career that is predefined. And I think so many, you know, young people who are entering the you know, their careers for the first time, they have kind of like a preconceived idea almost as to what they should be going into and what they should be working in and the industries that they are in. And I like the fact that you don't have that. So, you know, how did you know what you wanted to do when you first entered you know, live as a professional, and where has that taken you since then?
I love this question because the truth of the matter is I didn't know. And I don't think that people should necessarily know. I think it can be actually quite limiting. And I felt like such an outlier when I left college and joined a corporate career, because I studied psychology, music, and communications. I knew that I wanted to minor in two different things, music and communications. I had no idea what I wanted to major in, which is why I eventually defaulted to psychology, which covers so many things that I am also interested in. And I always, as a child, loved English and music. But growing up in a Asian family, as many people can relate to, I never really saw examples of what a career in the arts could look like for me. And in fact, as a child, I was more interested in STEM. I was such a nerdy little girl and went to math and science summer camp for fun as a child, but I didn't want to fit a stereotype. So I also rebelled in my own way by going into the humanities. But what's very funny about where I've ended up is now I work fully in science and creativity in both ways. And I have designed and discovered a career that I didn't know what was possible. But in terms of just navigating a career right out of college, I just put one foot in front of the other. And I also had the courage to admit when I didn't know and when I wasn't sure of what exactly I wanted from life. I think when you're young, people always ask you, what's your 5-year plan or what's your 3-year plan? What are you going to major in? What do you want from your life? And I think it's perfectly okay and understandable to say to that question, I don't know. And the more comfortable you get with saying, I don't know, you actually stand in your power because you open yourself to what life has for you and you don't ascribe or limit yourself to any previous opinions you had for your life. I think if we give ourselves permission to be whoever and say whatever, we can actually live a life authentically on those terms. And in my personal journey, I always knew I was interested in creativity, but I thought I wanted to make more practical decisions about my career because that is what I saw a lot of fear reflected back at me from my community in terms of you should find a stable job and you should kind of always know where your next paycheck is coming from. And so I always was interested in English, wanted to be a writer, but didn't even dare to declare that as my college major. My mom joked with me when I was younger and said, you shouldn't declare English as your major because you don't read as many books as my friend who was an English major herself. And so I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of opinions that other people have about choosing a creative career. So I went to psychology and I had internships in the music industry and in advertising. My first internship was when I, in advertising was when I was 17 or 18, working at J. Walter Thompson in Vietnam. And I was just trying it out for fun. And I did a project for them on cultural strategy in Vietnam and how to use music as a way to appeal to young people. And I just tried a bunch of different things. I think that's so important. It's important to experiment. And what actually is more valuable than knowing what you want is knowing what you don't want. So I would encourage anyone who is in a process of discovery to look at every roadblock as an opportunity, because it actually really helps you to fully understand your deal breakers and non-negotiables to actually authentically discover what you're meant to do and follow your calling. But I will say it was a series of happy accidents. I was very transparent about the fact that I had a unique background. And interestingly, that actually has shaped my entire career. I was so insecure as a child about not following the path that other people were on, but actually that's led me to creating my own unique path, even though it has been more difficult and uncertain for sure. But every job I've ever had, interestingly, was created for me. I was rejected from all of the associate account manager positions as a recent graduate. I didn't meet the qualifications of someone typically in marketing or advertising, but I was drawn to the industry because it connected with people and it connected with culture. And those two things have always helped me orbit my own life and have been my North Star throughout my personal journey. And so I just followed the advertising path. I had a job in trends at J. Walter Thompson, which came out of an internship that I had there, that I went into cultural and content strategy at McCann World Group, also working across comms. And then I left the advertising world to start my own freelance business. So, and then did a bunch of things from there. So it's really been following my current interests at the moment and also not being afraid to let old interests go. I think we have a lot of loyalty to the people we were, and there's a lot of power in saying this doesn't serve me anymore, and I want to leave that part of my personality behind for now.
I absolutely agree with you, and I think that so many of us are restricted by what we know in different companies that we want to enter, but may not know that a role could be created. We often, I think the traditional path is, you know, you go on LinkedIn, you see a job description and you say, okay, I fit that role. And then, you know, you either hear get a call or you don't. But it's often kind of predefined already. What I liked about your journey is there's so much curiosity in the way you kind of approach your career. And I think that's really important.
Thank you. And it's very funny that you say that, because I have always been a curious person, but I also struggle with anxiety myself. And what's very important that I've learned along the way is that you don't need to know what you're doing next. And in response to all of those questions about a 3-year plan or a 5-year plan, I think what's very important to know is just you are going to follow your curiosity, and that's what matters. And the most important skill to develop, I believe, is learning how to listen to your body and listen to your gut, because you already have all of the answers about what you want within you. So for people who are listening who feel a bit confused about what to do next, I would just recommend tapping into your intuition, because your body knows, your mind knows, your soul knows, but you just have to sit with those feelings and sit in that discomfort to allow those answers to reveal themselves about where you want to go next and what's in store for you.
That is perfect. And I think, you know, so much of that anxiety also comes from the people that we work with or work for and interact with on a daily basis, right? And the impact that they have on our careers is so great sometimes. It's either a positive impact or a negative impact. So yes. How do you handle criticisms and the naysayers who says, you know, that can't be done, or maybe you shouldn't do that, maybe you should do this, you know, and really question, you know, your choices?
Yes, I love this question, because I actually consider myself very fortunate to have experienced a lot of criticism at the beginning of my career. I definitely had a very difficult path getting into the industry. I was also an international student. I'm an Indian citizen. So at the beginning of my career, I was working in the US on a STEM OPT visa, which is a temporary visa for people who have studied in the US. So I knew that I was on a visa. I had 3 years to work in the US, and then I needed to figure out my life. So I always lived with an undercurrent of pressure and fear underneath me, because there was always the threat of deportation. And I think what really helped me navigate the criticism and the naysayers is that it really shaped my perspective about things. Interestingly, the criticism has actually helped me live my dream life and find my own career. Early in my career, I always was interested in writing, but I didn't know very much about it. Again, as I'd mentioned, I loved reading growing up and loved English, but I studied psychology, so I'd never formally learned how to write. Maybe in high school, but definitely not in college. And when I was at my first job, I remember being very interested in writing and that being a dream of mine to one day be a professional writer. But I was told by people I worked with that my writing was not good enough. Whenever I had the opportunity to write, every word I'd written was edited over and it didn't even sound like me. Now I know that's actually not the mark of a good editor, now that I have a bit more experience in the field. And I really felt like I was very bad at what I did, because I ended up doing everything at that job apart from writing, because that was the one weakness I believed I had. And I remember my first annual review, and I talked to my team and I asked them, you know, I really want to be on the track to growth and I want to increase my responsibilities in this position and I want to write. What is it that I need to do to get to that next step? And they told me, at the moment, your writing is not very good. First, that needs to get better. And it really hurt my feelings, because the one thing I wanted to do felt like it was kept from me. I weathered so much criticism as well around that. But what's so interesting now is my deepest insecurity actually became my greatest strength, because at that time, I believed that I was not a good writer. I worked 4 times as hard to get better. And it was all subconscious. This was not something, not a journey I knew that was that I was on. But looking back, now that I am a professional writer and that it's how I define myself, I really think it's funny, because I went through a lot of challenges at the beginning with not being taken seriously as a young person, and also being told what I couldn't do rather than what I could do. And my response to that was actually giving myself my own projects, because I felt like starting out in the industry, I wanted to make a name for myself. And even though I did have a unique job, I still didn't feel like I was fully myself at work. I didn't feel like I could embody all facets of my personality. So I had launched a trend report that I'd written and researched myself called Unapologetically Muslim. And that was a personal project that I'd done in college. Since I had no formal advertising experience, I'd given myself my own project as my college thesis. And as a young professional, I was releasing this trend report out into the world. And I weathered so much criticism over being ambitious at the age of 21. I put myself up for a bunch of different awards. All of the awards you mentioned in the intro were awards actually that I was discouraged from applying for. I had to request formal support from my company. And I was not exactly supported either, because I was the person who saw my potential before anyone else. And I did not wait really for anyone else's approval or permission to recognize my own worth. And so even though I did weather the challenges, I think the constant was I knew who I was, even when I was in places where I didn't always feel valued.
That gave me goosebumps, Nayantara. The fact that you were strong enough to know your worth. And I think that is so, so important, because if not, you know, I've heard people talking about the imposter syndrome. And very often, you know, that imposter syndrome is not about how you make yourself feel. It's about how others make you feel, isn't it?
Yeah, beautifully said. Hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, the very fact that you took the initiative, you know what you wanted, even though you were not sure of the path that you were taking. But, you know, you kind of got curious and you took the initiative and you went ahead to do something just to try it out, right? You don't try, you don't know. And I like that, you know, you did that for yourself.
Yeah, I think it's really important, because one fundamental piece of advice I learned early in my career was to give yourself the assignment. Because as a young person, no one is going to tell you in your career how to stand out at your job, how to be taken seriously. And no matter what you do, people still may criticize you and not take you seriously and undermine you because you have a lack of experience, or because this can happen at any point in your career as well. I think the most important thing is to let yourself experiment and also create work that's a reflection of who you are, whether that's at your job or outside of your job. And one thing that's always been constant about me is that even when I worked at different ad agencies, I was always doing something of my own on the side. That was not always work that I published or work that I wanted other people to see. But I think it's so important, as any type of creative, you need to be doing creative work that nourishes your soul. Because it's important to remind yourself that you are not your job. You may work at a job, but you are the person that you are, which is so much more than any position you could ever fill. And there's so many creative needs and just needs from our soul that we have in life that cannot be met by a 9-to-5. And so I think in terms, as we discover who we are and as we step into our power, we also need to give ourselves the permission and carve out time to feed who we are, feed our interests outside of any corporate job.
That kind of takes me to, you know, your current role. So you're currently juggling quite a number of things. You have your writing business. You're also a jazz singer, and I'll come back to that. But you're also working with Clean Creatives as its research director, which is a really important movement. What made you want to transition into a completely new industry? And how did you make that leap?
It's so funny, because it was never a conscious choice. And I think that's the theme here. You know, it seems to me. Thanks to you. It was a conscious choice of mine to become a freelancer and to set up my own freelance business. And I also took that choice because, similar to what we said earlier in the conversation, I knew what I didn't want. And I felt like a corporate job was a bit too one-dimensional for me. There were other areas of life I wanted to explore. Secondly, I also found that I think that in life, we lead ourselves to believe that we need certain qualifications when in fact we can learn a lot of things ourselves. So for example, I'm a self-taught journalist. And as I mentioned, everything I learned about writing, I taught myself. I didn't really receive a formal education in that. But when it comes to getting into sustainability, I also basically, you know, taught myself on the go. And I think that's what a lot of people experience in their careers. I'm so grateful to work with Clean Creatives now. And it's a dream that I never saw myself, that I never even envisioned happening for me, because I've always been interested in sustainability, but more from how I live my personal life. I live a low-waste lifestyle. I love to compost. I create content around sustainability. And I'm really interested in upcycling and just making conscious choices in your day-to-day. But I'd never thought about sustainability or ESG as a career. And the story of how I got into Clean Creatives is very atypical and funny to me, as I'm sure a lot of my career moves have been. And when I started freelancing, I just did a bunch of random things. I just wanted to try things. Like, it's so important to be a child and just experiment and say yes to everything. And so I had done some executive branding. I used to write bios for executive leaders. I would help with PR and placement in top publications using my journalism career on the other side of the fence. And I was reaching out to friends, just asking if they knew of any projects. A project came across my desk that was to write a research report on fossil fuel litigation. And I knew nothing about fossil fuels. I knew nothing about the law. And it also seemed really boring. I was like, do I want to do this? And I was like, okay, I'm a freelancer. I don't have any stable income. The money's good. This looks like, I mean, the people who have written this job description know what they're doing, because it's a very comprehensive job description. And I was in this Year of Yes moment, which is a book by Shonda Rhimes, which is really great, which is all around the idea of saying yes to things that scare you and just thinking, you know, what's the worst that can happen? Like, maybe you'll fail. Maybe you'll lose a client. Maybe you'll have to feel insecure and uncomfortable for a while, but that's the point of life. And doing uncomfortable things helps us grow. So I said yes to the project. I had so much imposter syndrome. Like, I don't know. I am not the right person for this. I had no qualifications to write about fossil fuel litigation, but I knew that I was capable and I knew that I was a quick learner and that I would deliver good quality work. And so I wrote that report for them and was just also very transparent about the fact that I didn't come from this industry and that I might need some help in making sure I was writing truthfully. And I loved working with that team, and they kept asking me to write future reports for them. And eventually that led to a part-time job that I have with them now as their research director. And it's fascinating because this job is everything I could have dreamed of, working within the marketing industry and working with creatives to help them engage with issues of sustainability. It is a combination of all of my interests, but I didn't even see it like that. I just went in with my palms open to anything that came my way. And I think what's important about our career journeys is it's also very spiritual. You have to, in your own way, surrender to the universe and just allow your life to take its shape. You can't always control where things are going to take you, but you just need to keep saying yes to things and trust that what's meant for you will stick around and will find you. And what's not meant for you will automatically filter itself out. And so I've really seen that in my career and in my personal life. And it's really beautiful because now I get to live and work in a position where I'm helping people and where I'm authentically being true to myself. And it's entirely by accident.
That is just absolutely beautiful. And I think for a lot of people who are listening in, who are either just starting out in their careers or are making a change midway through their careers, you know, I think it is so encouraging to hear that sometimes without even, you know, designing or be really focused on where you want to get to, some opportunities can come your way by just saying yes or by just being open, just like you have, you know. And I think I really think that is so beautiful as a concept, similar to how people also make friends, you know, because the harder you try, the less kind of positive, impactful people will come in your way. But sometimes when you just don't try at all, it just does, you know.
Yes, I think it's all about releasing control of the outcome. And that's so hard. I really struggle with that because I love to control things. I think we all do, right? I wish there was a magic button I could push that would just let me, you know, do anything I wanted. But actually what I've learned is that the more you let go, the more the universe will actually operate in your favor. And it's funny because if I was listening to this podcast, I'd be like, oh yeah, she makes it sound so easy. Like, it's so easy for her. And I used to be that girl. I used to listen to other people's career stories and be like, oh, well, like they got lucky, or maybe, you know, it is certainly, luck certainly plays a factor. But I don't think that a life like this is out of reach for anyone, because it's really all about just knowing yourself very well. And it's about trusting the timing of the universe and also just living a life of purpose, standing true in who you are, making tough decisions, being okay with a little bit of risk. And I think that it's entirely within reach that anyone could have the career of their dreams, or even if they don't have the career of their dreams, live a life that they really love.
Beautiful. Nicely said. I think for just, you know, for people who are listening in, who are considering a similar move, you know, to a career in social impact or sustainability, what would you say are some of the kind of critical skills or knowledge that they'll need to be successful? I know that you haven't planned that route of career. But now that you're in it and having transitioned into, you know, a sustainability field, what are some of those critical skills you think can help people to drive towards that career?
Absolutely. I think the number one skill in this career and anyone is empathy. It's so important to be able to think outside of our own perspective. And what we come across in sustainability is that the people who work in this field know the value of what we're doing. And often the greatest obstacle is trying to communicate the value of sustainability to people who are not interested in it. And so I think being able to think outside your own perspective is the greatest skill you can have in this industry or any other, because understanding people and being able to step outside of your own shoes really allows you to make peace with different viewpoints and also to understand how to bring a greater range of people into the movement. Because what's so funny is I think a lot of my family and friends are not deeply interested in sustainability, but through watching me and seeing how I live my life, it actually piques their interest. So I think just being able to embody your values as who you are, in who you are, is a very big strength to have in this industry, and also to be able to have empathy for how others feel. And the second skill I would say that's very important is to have some grasp of science and how to understand and interpret data. Because what I often see in the sustainability and social impact industry is that many people lead their arguments based on what they already want to confirm. And by that, I mean, they try to find research that supports how they already think. And as a researcher, the one thing I'm very passionate about is, yes, you can lead with a hypothesis, but you should be able to look at science holistically and be able to just be curious about and fairly objective about what you're seeing. So I think it's very important, no matter what area of the industry that you're in, that you understand numbers and science, and also that you read up about history. As mentioned, I was not previously in this industry, but when I got into it, being very aware of how much I did not know, the first thing I did was just read about the history that PR has played in fossil fuel deception, learn about different types of oil and gas, and, you know, all of the background and all of the organizing and activism in this industry. There's still a lot I don't know, but I think being curious is always a great skill, and being able to back up everything you do with research and with data. I think just having a good tolerance and a good radar for knowing truth versus lies or truth versus BS, because there's so much greenwashing even in our own industry. And I find it really funny and ironic because even amongst insider industry circles, there is a lot of deception that happens in terms of how we speak about things. So I think just thinking for yourself, being able to critically evaluate information and making sure that you form what you believe based on your personal opinion rather than just reflecting the opinions of others around you. Because in any industry, there's certainly a lot of groupthink that can happen. I think it's just important to just to have a sense of perspective, step outside of your industry every once in a while, and try and be conscious about and critical of what you're doing as well from a healthy space.
Those are very wise advice. And, you know, the whole topic around sustainability is a whole new podcast on its own. Yes. So maybe we have to do part two of that.
Oh, absolutely.
I have one more question before I have to let you go. Before we kind of end this conversation, what would you say are the three key takeaways for our listeners today? Like, you know, three things that if they didn't listen to your entire podcast and they're just going to walk away with these three things, what are they?
Yeah, absolutely. This is the TLDR.
Yes, TLDR.
I would say the first takeaway is to do the inner work. And I think a lot of your career journey also reflects your personal journey and more holistically your healing and your mental health, in terms of that you should really know who you are as a person. In any career, through trial and error, you learn a lot about yourself. And I think you should just use what you already know as your internal compass. There are going to be a lot of people who try and sway you. As mentioned, there will be criticism, there will be naysayers, and a lot of people who try to tell you who you are because they think they already know you. So I think what's really important to keep a sense of is the inner person you are outside of your job. Know who you are, but get curious about who you can become. Stay rooted in your values, but also don't hold yourself to who you were yesterday. Don't operate out of a fixed sense of who you are. Untick the box. Keep changing your definitions of yourself. So that would be number one. Number two is to sit in the discomfort, because it's going to be uncomfortable. So buckle up. We're in this together. And any change in work and life doesn't come easy. You should be patient with the process and open to what it can teach you. Ask other people what they have done, but also know that you are carving your own path and that will not look like anyone else's. So have a bit of patience for yourself, because it will take some time. It will be uncomfortable. But actually, when you actually sit in that discomfort, you know you're growing, because you have a choice to allow fear to control you or to sit with the fear and tell yourself it's okay. So just keep telling yourself it's okay. I'm going to get through this. And the third one is to trust yourself and have fun. I think we think of careers as this big, ominous, looming, scary thing, or this very serious conversation. But I hope if there's one thing this podcast has shown you is it doesn't have to be so serious. You can take the pressure off. You're allowed to make mistakes. You're allowed to make decisions that make absolutely no sense. And as we've discussed, a lot of things make sense when you connect the dots backwards. So have fun with the process and just trust your intuition. Spend some time just asking yourself, you know, do I trust myself to protect me, to help me make the right decisions? And the more your belief in yourself grows, no matter what situation you're navigating, you will be okay, because you are there to protect yourself. And so those are the three takeaways I'd recommend. I hope it helped.
Well, it certainly helps me. You know, you, such an interesting perspective. And, you know, so thank you so much for your insights, Nayantara. I've really, really enjoyed our conversation. And, you know, I'm sure our listeners, you know, will find what you've shared also very useful. Until the next episode, and hopefully we'll be able to come back to you with an episode on, you know, on sustainability, maybe.
Yeah.
I hope everyone who's listening in have a great and purposeful day and week ahead. Thank you very much.